If you have your Bibles there, I have three readings this morning. The first is in Luke 13, verses 1 to 10. I think the guys are going to put it up on the screen, but I want to read this to you. It says, "Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices." So these guys had been killed by Pilate. "And Jesus answered them, 'Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than the other Galileans because they suffered this? They suffered this way? No, I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. Well, those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish.'" Just so you're aware, those two events, we don't know really anything more about them. I mean, the tower fell, bad building techniques, might have been an earthquake, we don't know. But it was a local tragedy, and so these folk were killed. Then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 and 45, again, the words of Jesus, and he says, "I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." And then in John chapter 12, verse 47 through 48, Jesus again speaking, "If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I've spoken will condemn them at the last day." January 2009, I remember the date very well. Lower Hutt Baptist Church building was hit by lightning. Remember that? Anyone? It struck the spire, it blew two holes in the roof, destroyed wiring and electrical equipment, did $200,000 worth of damage. They were insured. But the funny thing is, they were struck just 24 hours before they were due to meet as a congregation to approve negotiations to buy another church building, which they eventually did. And although the members voted overwhelmingly in favour of the move, Pastor Andrew Symes said, "I don't think the lightning strike influenced the vote, but the joke is that God cast his vote." And the insurance company, of course, called this event an act of God. That's the legal term for it. And technically, it's the term used for cyclones and earthquakes and floods and lightning strikes and tornadoes and eruptions and whatever acts of nature occur where there's damage and so on. They're called acts of God. In 14th of February this year, our government declared a national state of emergency after New Zealand was hit with two major weather events. You all know this. And it hit much of the North Island, resulting in loss of life, thousands being forced out of their homes, billions of dollars of damage to roads and infrastructure. It's going to take at least 10 years, isn't it, to repair the damage. Many homes will never be rebuilt, and some small villages will be abandoned, never to be occupied again. It's a major event. From the earliest of times, people have sought to attribute natural disasters to the wrath of the gods or to the wrath of the living God. So there was one of the earliest ever historians. His name was Herodotus, and he recorded the earliest known tsunami in the year 479 BC. And he claimed that the tsunami was sent by the god of the sea, Poseidon. And it was to punish the Persians for the siege of a settlement called Potidaea in northern Greece. So good old Poseidon, he got the blame. But just 2 weeks ago, a well-known New Zealand bishop, Bishop Brian Tamaki, publicly stated that the devastating floods of Cyclone Gabrielle were brought on by the moral depravity of New Zealanders, especially some living in the Gisborne Hawke's Bay area. And that was sent because of moral depravity, moral degradation, pornography, homosexuality and abortion. That's what caused the flood. Back in the Christchurch earthquake, all those, 10 years ago? He also stated that earthquake, which killed 185 people, was caused by homosexuality. And his words were, the earth convulses under the weight of certain human sin. And he said similar things about COVID-19. Now, I want to ask the question, is he right? Do you think he's right? Are these things sent by God? Now, some of you today, when we're through, may choose to disagree with me. I hope you will get into God's word and really see for yourself and make some decisions based on God's word, not on the words of a person. And I want to make it really clear, I'm not here to run Brian Tamaki down. I mention him by name because he's a very public figure who said these things publicly, so it's not we're not revealing any secrets. And it's not mine to judge him. He's God's person, he's God's man, and I just think he raises questions that need biblical answers. So I believe that we should resist the temptation to attribute natural disasters to a nation's sin. Let me say that again. I believe we should resist the temptation to attribute natural disasters to a nation's sin. See, if we look in the Bible, there are natural disasters that are, they're not commented on, they're just recorded. So that's my first point. If we go especially to the Old Testament, which is the Old Testament is a story of God choosing one man, Abraham, and through his descendants choosing a nation of Israel to be his people, a people who would live under the rulership, kingship of God Almighty, and would be a demonstration to the nations of the world of what it is like to live in obedience to God and his salvation, and to be his people. Now, they kind of failed miserably at the end of it, and there's a big story of the Bible that we're not getting into right here and right now. But if we go back to those Old Testament days, which chronicle the history and the lives of the nation of Israel, we go back to that time, we'll find, for example, in the story of Joseph, who was sold by his brothers, loving brothers, into slavery. But at that time, Joseph was used to save the whole nation of Israel and the fledgling nation of Egypt and the fledgling nation of Israel and other surrounding nations, saved them from a massive famine that was coming. There were going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And it was major. It wasn't for anyone's sin. It just happened. And even during the ministry of the Apostle Paul, in Acts 11, I think that can go up on the screen, we read, during this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread through the entire Roman world. And this happened. It was predicted, and then it happened. But it wasn't to punish anyone. We're certainly not told. It just is recorded that it happened. And that was during the time of the New Testament church in the book of Acts. No reason given. But secondly, it is clear that in the Old Testament times, sometimes God did use a natural disaster to exercise judgment on a nation. Sodom and Gomorrah were two cities, sort of nation cities, if you like, that God destroyed through some kind of volcanic event. We're not really described. We're just told that fire and brimstone fell on them. And so we do see an example there. But interestingly, this was a rare event. It was clearly identified before it happened that judgment would come. The Bible actually says that one of the Jews, Lot, preached to them, and no doubt he preached repentance and turned back to God, but he preached there, and God gave an advanced warning that he would destroy them. Noah's flood was another event, wasn't it? A kind of a one-off event. God promised it would never happen again, and God grieved that of the sin that was in the world at that time. He said, I'm going to do a restart. It's like a computer restart. You know, you push the button and it all resets. And God did a reset. But interestingly, again, ahead of time, God gave notice. And something like 50 to 75 years, Noah built and he preached. It's called the preacher of righteousness. So you see, sort of, if there is a pattern, it's a little pattern of God giving foreknowledge, forewarning, that an event very specifically. I mean, you don't build an ark in preparation for a volcanic eruption. I mean, it was for a specific event, a flood that was going to come, and it came exactly according to the word of God. But and thirdly, God occasionally used natural disasters, especially to gain the attention of Israel. And I want to read, just give you one example. 1 Kings 17 says, Elisha the Tishbite from Tishbe. That's why he was a Tishbite. Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab. Now, Ahab was an evil king, he was a wicked king, he was a bad boy. And the words, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Very clear, before the event, God announced through his prophet, it's going to be a drought, going to be 3 years, gave the length of time. Oh, sorry, said next few years. I think it was just over 3 years. And it happened according to the word of the Lord. And again, the point I want to make is such events were very uncommon. They didn't happen all the way through Israel's history. They were uncommon. When they did occasionally happen, they followed this pattern. Number one, they were accurately predicted by God's prophets. Number two, God always gave advance warning and time for repentance. The king was warned beforehand given time to repent, even, and that, so the drought had a clear purpose. And three, they it was for specific sin, not a general sort of thing, but for specific disobedience. And so the nations involved in natural disasters, and through the Old Testament, they were, you say it again, they were given advance warning by the prophets who called them to repent. No one had to speculate, I think this might be an act of God. No one had to sort of retrospective. It's easy to be retrospective, isn't it? Something, you know, Mount Ruapehu blows up. Oh, it's got to be, I think God's punishing the middle New Zealand for whatever, you know, and you make it up after the event. It's very easy to do. But in the Bible, it's always before the event is predicted, and warnings are given. Warnings are given because God is a compassionate God. Amen. And he's loving, doesn't want anyone to perish, the Bible says. And so he warns. And it would be a bit of a sidetrack for me to get too much onto to other stories, but stories like, because this one in Nineveh wasn't a natural disaster, but here was a whole nation of Nineveh, and a prophet was sent to them to repent, the prophet Jonah. Remember the story in the Bible, if you know your Bible? And that is so typical of God. They repented and God relented and said, okay, you guys, you're off. You've repented. I'm not going to do what I said I would do. So God had the prerogative of changing his mind because the circumstances changed and they repented. And oh, God is so like that. So we need to be really clear on that. He always warned before. But what about natural disasters today? I mean, what I'm so far trying to suggest is that in the Old Testament, when natural disasters occurred, they were given warning ahead of time for specific sin, right? And they were given time to repent, and if they repented, God relented. So that was the pattern beforehand. For the Old Testament. But what about today? Is the same true? Well, see, firstly, Jesus was asked by his followers whether a group of Galileans who were killed by Pilate were somehow deserved it because they were sinners. They were worse sinners. They'd been involved in something. And whether 18 people killed when a tower fell on them were worse sinners than all the rest. So here was a local tragedy, or two little local tragedies, and no doubt rumour had gone around. You know how it is. It's the same today, isn't it? You know, something happens and then the rumours go, oh, well, you know, they were into some bad stuff and they were, you know, a member of this society, or they were a politician involved in some secret thing, and the rumors get going, and you know, people find reason. Well, it can't have just happened. There must have been some bad stuff. And Jesus says, no, that's not the case. An emphatic no. And he Jesus actually turned to those who were asking him and said, look, you're all in the same boat. You are all going to perish unless you repent. So consider your own standing before God. People are injured. People are killed in disasters. People are they're martyred or killed or whatever because they happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time sometimes. Another time, Jesus was asked the question, there's a man that he healed, but he was born blind. And his disciples said, look, Jesus, was he born blind because of his own sin or the sin of his parents? I mean, they had it worked out. They knew it was someone's sin. That was their idea. They just weren't too clear whether it was the parents or this man's own sin. And again, Jesus categorically denied that the blindness was due to anyone's sin. Now again, blindness was not a natural disaster, so I'm kind of stepping to a little one side to give that illustration, but it does illustrate a point. And Jesus again said that God would be revealed in this man's life, you know, that he was blind and he was going to be healed. And you know, it's not about sin, not about being punished for sin, but just that God would use anything and everything to be revealed in the man's life. Sickness, injury, disease, death, natural disaster, they cannot be assumed to be God's judgment on a specific sin or on sin. You cannot make that assumption according to Scripture. Disasters, disease, devastation, that's how one person put it. They can have purely physical causes. So you've got geological upheavals, you've got tectonic plate movements. Right, if you know what a tectonic plate is. You're living on one, so you should know. Yeah, I think ours is vanishing underneath the Australian one, isn't it? We should have the Aussies on about that. But all of these things, or microbes, or genetic mutations, they can actually have a mixture of human and natural causes. Human and natural causes. So here's my list of reasons not to assume natural disasters are God's judgment. First on my list, so we've kind of moved from the Old Testament, if you like, and into the new, just so you're with me. This, by the way, I just can't resist saying this as an aside. This is so different from what we normally do. I like to just get a passage and stick in a passage and preach it. And so I've gone to quite a lot of places in the Bible. So when we do that, what we're looking for is sort of overall principles. There may be exceptions. There are some exceptions. There are, you know, there was Sodom and Gomorrah and things like that. But the overall pattern of Scripture is what we're looking for, the overall principles that would guide us. So we're not being guided by one event, but by many events covering a larger period of time. And that's what I believe we should do. So here's my list. Human actions are involved in many natural disasters. So take one recent one, the earthquake in Turkey and Iran. Right, I'm just focusing on Turkey. It's well known in Turkey and to those who know that a lot of buildings in Turkey were built after bribes had been paid so that they could get away without inspections, without reinforcing, without adequate building standards. And so buildings come down. In another Eastern European country. So let me finish that sentence. Buildings come down and kill the poor because of the actions of greedy, selfish, rich, corrupt people. You might think that was a pretty large earthquake, but buildings can be built to withstand them. You might think that only Western nations have enough money to build buildings like that, but actually, that's not entirely true either. And while it may take good money to really earthquake-proof a building, places like Turkey they're not totally just developing nations. They are a well-developed nation, and they have the means to build buildings that will stand earthquakes. But the corruption bypassed those standards. In another Eastern European country, one of our church members told me this, that there are, I think that this is about high-rise apartment buildings, and it's quite common for those in them to want to convert them to more more large open space apartments rather than smaller rooms. So they it's known that they remove supporting walls, and then those living beneath them notice their doors won't open, they're jamming, because the building sags and cracks appear. So that is a factual account. I didn't have time to go to the person here who gave me that story, but you know, when you know, that's just human silliness, really. And so when an earthquake comes, when suddenly these buildings collapse, it's not an act of God. It's a tragedy caused by ignorance or selfishness, greed, and so on. In New Zealand, those responsible for building, approving the building of homes on coastal land, councils, or building them on floodplains, or on land that's subject to erosion, or on top of earthquake fault lines, forestry companies leaving behind their slash. These people must carry some of the blame. Not God punishing. Rather than evil people being punished, it's mostly the poor who are killed in natural disasters. You know that? It's the poor who are buried, the poor who lose their possessions. It's the poor who sleep outdoors. It's the poor who live in anguish over the future. The poor face enormous obstacles trying to rebuild their lives. And it's the poor who can't get access to financial credit. In the Philippines, they're hit by, I think, around about 20 cyclones per year. So we're pretty well off compared with the Philippines. A number of years ago, a friend of ours who was the headed up a children's orphanage, he's an American missionary, Paul Healy, and he told this story that they had a cyclone that hit them on the in Cebu really badly where they lived, and there were missionaries there from America who were living in houses nearby. And they said to Paul, when the cyclone had blown itself over, they said to him, "Isn't it wonderful? We prayed and, you know, God protected us, God saved us, God, you know, kept us from harm." And they were praising God for that. And Paul said, didn't say to them, but he said afterwards, "You know, just down the road further, there were other Christians who worked at the orphanage, and they lived in houses that were inadequate to stand the cyclone because they were poor. They couldn't afford anymore. And their houses were destroyed. And some lives were lost." And the question is, did God somehow decide to protect the missionaries from America and decide not to protect the Christians who lived in Cebu all the time? I don't think so. I think it had more to do with money and the ability to build. If you've got the money, you can build better buildings and you survive. Not that somehow these people, the Americans, deserved God's favor and the other Christians didn't. We can hardly say God sends these disasters when it's the poor who suffer as a result. My second little point is this: if God sends disasters to punish countries like ours for national sins, he's wildly inconsistent. If God sends disasters to punish nations, why did lightning hit Lower Hutt Baptist and not the Beehive? In the nation of Nepal, the Nepalese don't have Sunday off, they have Saturday off. They work 6 days, it's just how it is there. And so Christians meet on Saturdays for worship, church worship. And in April 2015, there was a massive, massive earthquake in Nepal. And it happened on, guess it? It happened on Saturday, when all the Christians were in church buildings and they collapsed. These buildings collapsed. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of congregations were wiped out. I know at the time, because at the time I was looking after the North Porirua Baptist Church in 2016, we sent some money across to one particular Assemblies of God church where they lost 80 members. Boom. Why couldn't God have sent the earthquake on Friday? If God sends earthquakes to punish nations, why send an earthquake to Christchurch and not to Las Vegas? If God sends disasters to punish nations, why send the volcanic eruption and tsunami to God-fearing Tonga last year, or in 2022? Why not send an earthquake to Saudi Arabia, where Christians are badly persecuted? Why not send an earthquake to the United Arab Emirates for its abuse of migrant workers, especially Filipino migrant workers? And we could go on. There's an inconsistency that doesn't seem to match the nature and character of God, who is just and who acts with justice. If I were God sending these, I think I could do a far better job of targeting the right people. Just as well, you and I are not in charge. And kind of, got two pages left, so we're getting to wrapping this up. But look, natural disasters present an opportunity, actually, for God's mercy and his love and his grace to be shown. See, in the book of Acts, that guy, that prophet Agabus, who prophesied about a coming famine that did come under the Emperor Claudius' time, when he prophesied that, you know what they did? In Acts 11, verse 29 through 30, the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. And this they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So they took up a love offering. And it says, as each one was able. No compulsion there, just that some gave a little bit and some gave a lot, and they sent the money ahead to that area which was going to have the famine. What a wonderful act of Christian solidarity and love. They got stuck in. And it's the Kiwi way, isn't it? To get stuck in and help when people are in distress. I want to say this. A large group of Destiny Church, that's Bishop Brian Tamaki's, he's in charge of the Destiny Churches, just in case you didn't know. Well, a large group of Destiny Church men have been helping with the cleanup in Hawke's Bay. I say, good on you guys. Good on you, Brian and your men. Although it was not Brian's own church, another one of his other churches. Churches such as House of Breakthrough Church in Gisborne and Ranui Baptist in West Auckland, they provided emergency accommodation up north. Many churches have sent gifts of food and equipment to the flood-hit areas. In Auckland, City Impact Church, listen, they bagged 6 tons of sand and gave it away. They provided meals for 10,000 people. And they've sent 3 truck and trailer units loaded with supplies to Hastings and Gisborne, and they hired a helicopter to help with distribution. I think that is Christianity in action. And I think that, you know, rather than getting up on your soapbox and saying, you know, New Zealand, these were sent by God to punish you for the corruption. If God is involved, we're going to see prophecy before an event, and clear warning and clarity over it, and we're going to see the opportunity to turn back to God before a disaster happens. But as I say, I don't believe these things are sent. I believe that we're on a day of grace, a day when God is wanting everyone to come to him. So let me say this. So I don't believe natural disasters are God's punishment for sin, but they are reminders that this world is not as it should be. It's not as God originally planned it. And natural disasters are their opportunities for us to show the love of God, not the judgment of God, to those who are affected. And let's take note that the Bible does warn of a major future time. Does. A disaster that will be God's justice. Because God is just. We would not want God to be anything but just. He will not, he cannot, because of his nature, leave sin unpunished. Thank God for the cross, you know. Thank God for forgiveness that's given to us. Thank God that those who have Christ as Savior do not have to stand, do not live in anxious fear about some future time of judgment. We do not stand condemned at the judgment throne of God. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 through 13. The Lord's not slow keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient. He's patient. Patient with you. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. And since you will be destroyed, everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Would the worship team please come? I kind of don't want to say, you know, in wrapping up, I don't want to say what I've already said, so I won't. My prayer is that you will ponder and think on these things and then allow God to use you to express his love, compassion for those who are suffering in New Zealand and elsewhere.